Hi, I'm Mark Brody, and this is the Friday Newscap Podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
It's not okay to be in this country illegally, and people hate on me for that. If you're in the country illegally, you should be looking over your shoulder. It's not okay to enter this country illegally. It's a crime.
If you've ever bought a car or been in a negotiation, when one side gives you a completely unserious offer, you often have to walk away until they get serious.
We need to take care of these little ones. It is our obligation. It is the obligation of every member of this elected body. And let's call them to task when they don't do the obvious thing. This is easy. It's a no-brainer.
This has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with people putting it on the line and somebody saying, I want to take that from you because I don't have the guts to do it.
This bill reinforces the dangerous and false narrative that there is an invasion at our border, a narrative that fuels hate, fear, and discrimination.
This legislature will take up legislation that will provide the funding necessary for DD to remain intact. And there will be guardrails placed on that.
And with me to talk about a pair of Trump administration officials visiting the Valley, a potential solution to a budget shortfall in a program for Arizonans with developmental disabilities and more, are Barrett Marson of Marson Media. Good morning, Barrett.
Good morning.
And Stacey Pearson of Lumen Strategy. Stacey, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Barrett, lots of immigration talk. It's like we're back in 2010.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about puppet shows for adults, but okay.
Coming up later.
Coming up later.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
I want to hear that.
So we started the week with the president's border czar coming to Phoenix and addressing a joint session of the legislature. He said a lot of things, among them making a comparison of deportees to Amazon Prime deliveries.
Well, nothing says, humanely dealing with people like shoving them in a tight box and making the driver go 80 miles an hour to keep on time. No, but seriously, I will say that Trump promised to get the border under control. That was the big thing, two big things, inflation and border. And, he's done a good job. I mean, I think you have to give him credit for reducing that stream of people coming across
that
the border.
That was put in place under the Biden administration. It should have been done earlier, but this was a
not.
Biden policy.
Under Biden, they were still streaming in the tens of thousands a day. Now, I mean,
before November. So, yeah, right.
I have heard literally that some Border Patrol agents actually are bored now because there's not nearly the amount of people coming across. They are not having to do as many chases. And so, you got to give Trump credit for reducing the illegal border
and
crossings to a
trickle. Due process and sending folks
not,
to.
Hey, he's got due processes on the roundups, that we can complain about a lot.
Inhumane treatment deserves no credit.
Well, Stacey, what did you make of what Tom Homan had to say? We got a little preview of it just there, but.
Right. It was a blatant headline grab, and it was effective. But the policy that's following that up, including forcing local law enforcement, which just in the Valley is 1,000 officers short to enforce immigration law, is insane. To Barrett's point, if Border Patrol agents are bored, send them to Phoenix. Phoenix PD is short hundreds of officers. There aren't enough officers to patrol our streets, to respond to accidents quickly, to take property crime reports. And now we're going to redirect that effort, that energy, that manpower to this pet project.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing a lot of the local law enforcement. I don't know if that's occurring as much as just, on the border, the people coming in, that's slow to a trickle. And I think people wanted that, and that's what they are getting with Trump. He's got to keep that up. And, probably as he moves into his round them up phase, that's when you're going to hear a lot of people complaining. We've already seen them arresting and deporting people who should not have been deported. And, I understand the whole, oops, we made a mistake, but then to not correct the mistake, to say you know, throw up your arms and go, eh, sorry, or for them, sorry, not sorry. I think that's a problem, and I think Americans don't want that part to happen.
Well, so Barrett, Stacey alluded to the what has been known as the Arizona ICE Act that the legislature approved this week and sent up to the governor that requires local law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration authorities.
Sure, cooperate.
Right. But so this is sort of a tool that the legislature has used in bills relative to cities for a few years now in terms of threatening their state shared revenue, which is interesting because to Stacey's point, cities are already struggling to have enough money to hire police
officers.
Recruit
and retain. Yeah.
And if they lose that, if they lose state shared revenue, like what does that do to police departments?
But all they have to do is cooperate, right? They don't have to go out and, quote, round up people. But for instance, in the jails,
blatantly untrue. Cooperate is follow the direction of the federal government, which could be whatever they decide it's going to be that
for
day.
For the jails, it's just work with ICE to like, okay, this person
that's already
arrested.
Happening. ICE was never removed from Maricopa County Jail. Like that was even under the Pinzone administration.
But this is for all counties now. Some have 287Gs. Only a handful of agencies have 287Gs, which is an official cooperation with ICE.
Yeah.
So now this mandates that everyone has to cooperate, but I don't see a big change in
well, procedures. There's a reason that the local law enforcement unions are not on this bill. This is the definition of cooperate is extraordinarily loose. They don't have the resources to do the jobs these guys applied to do.
Stacey, what will Governor Hobbs do with this bill?
Well, that's a Governor Hobbs question. That's
the question. No, but I mean, what do you think? You're close to the Hobbs administration. What do you think Governor Hobbs will do with
so
this bill?
So I think Governor Hobbs is going to follow local law enforcement's lead. I mean, she has
and veto the bill.
She's met with plea or fix it. I mean, or fix it. Define what cooperate means. Define who's going to pay for it. Define, not only are
she only has a couple of options, sign, veto, or let
fix,
become law.
Or fix.
Well, but
or
she can't.
Fix.
Well, she can't fix.
I mean, in theory, she can work with the legislature and have them start over. But I mean, that's a valid point in terms of, you know, we're talking about what this bill does and who likes it and who doesn't. But it could all be moot, right? Once it gets to the governor, if she vetoes it, it just goes away. Although we know that it's always a possibility, and the Republicans in the legislature have done this before, of just sending it to the ballot. Do you think that's a possibility here, Stacey?
Oh, of course. I mean, it's always a possibility with this legislature that they're going to go right around her and send it. What's interesting, though, is local law enforcement is not in support of this issue. I mean, there's lots of things they just let through the goalpost and see how it shakes out. This is extraordinarily dangerous to let federal organizations based on political whim on each side of the aisle to dictate what the guys who clocked in this morning have to do that day. And cooperate could be send me 20 patrol units to whatever neighborhood this is. And they physically don't have them. It will compromise public safety in other places in Phoenix and really the state.
Barrett, I want to ask you about another Trump administration official coming to town, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., of course, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, talking about some bills, one dealing with requiring that people who are on SNAP, what used to be called food stamps, not allowed to use those benefits to buy soda. That does not have bipartisan support generally. A bill that does have bipartisan support is taking a bunch of ingredients out of school lunches to try to make school food healthier. I think a far cry from what the three of us ate when we were in grade school.
Yeah.
He did not, though, apparently want to talk about the measles outbreak and how it could impact Arizona.
You can have my Coke Zero when you pry it from my cold, dead hands.
You're not in elementary school anymore, though, are you? It's not a Billy Madison situation.
Look, there are so many positive things to MAHA, and then there are so many negative things. You know, this whole measles outbreak, of course he doesn't want to talk about it because, you know, kids are dying, you know, unvaccinated kids are dying. He sort of came out for the MMR
vaccine,
and, you know, which I have, so whatever. And I turned out perfectly fine. I don't understand this whole negative view that he has held for decades of being against this vaccine. And there's no evidence to show that it leads to autism and all that. But he is incredibly popular here. I mean, he gets crowds. People have glommed onto this movement. Again, there are some positive things. Getting rid of red dye or whatever, you know, some of these very unhealthy things in our food is a really great goal. Getting rid of vaccines, not so much.
Well, Stacey, some of the processed foods provisions are things that Democrats have been talking about for a very long time.
Absolutely. I find the irony here that it was the worst idea Michelle Obama ever had to put vegetables in school lunches. My daughter was in elementary school and Michelle Obama came on the TV. She's probably in fourth grade, maybe. She said, I don't like that lady. Like, why do you? Michelle Obama, she was like, we had green beans. My daughter, like, that was the first time I saw her into. Yeah, it was very funny. But no, I mean,
this I revolt against green beans as well. So.
In this, at lunch? Who has green beans with lunch? Yeah. But anyway, this is certainly something that the Democrats have been very concerned about is poison in our food supply. And if it wasn't coming from a guy that legitimately had worms in his brain, I think we would be seeing the...
Does that hurt the message, though? Like, the fact that, like, this is coming from someone like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., while, as you say, Democrats have been on board with this for a long time, does it hurt the cause, the messenger in this case?
Oh, it absolutely hurts the cause. I mean, some of those profiles of him I thought were hilarious going into this last election cycle where he's got pet vultures that attack his wife. I mean, the guy's not quite right.
But I do wish... that in the movement, I mean, let's take away RFK Jr. I do wish that Democrats and Republicans would work together because there is common ground on making our food healthier.
And that bill has been bipartisan. I mean,
I do think that this is a place, both locally and nationally, Democrats and Republicans can indeed work together. But yeah, I mean, look, if you're just going to bring up worms and dropping off dead animals in Central Park.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
you know.
I forgot about that.
She didn't mention the bear.
No, I forgot the bear. There's so much.
What about the dead whale or shark or whatever?
There's a lot.
On his roof? Yeah.
There's a lot.
But I think that's the problem is that people is so tainted. Democrats are so tainted by Robert F. Kennedy, the person, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the person, that it's hard for them to work where they actually do find common ground. I think... you sometimes need to get over that personality.
Stacey, let me ask you about the budget, state budget. We don't really have a great sense of where Republican legislative leaders and the governor are on the overall spending plan. We did get some details this week, though, of a proposal from the Republicans in the legislature to close a shortfall within one specific program within the Department of Developmental Disabilities, dealing with allowing parents to get stipends to care for their kids who have severe developmental disabilities. The Republicans are willing to put money into that, but also some other provisions in there dealing with other waivers and restrictions on this particular program. The governor had proposed some guardrails, but like, how closely do those align? Like, is there work to do here to get to a compromise?
So there's certainly work to do to get to a compromise. What the governor asked the legislature for is very simple. Fund it for the rest of this fiscal year. There's 2 months of shortfall in funding. Mm-hmm. Take care of it, and then let's negotiate for the next budget package what some of those guardrails are. The legislature, the Republican legislature, is trying to put that all in one package and cut stipends to parents 50% by middle of next year. And that's assuming the federal government even funds any of this. So there is so much in flux, it's difficult for the governor to make a decision or the legislature to make a decision about next fiscal year's funding before we see what the federal government does. And I think it's short-sighted on the Republicans' part.
You know, this program didn't exist 5 years ago. It only came in during the pandemic, and it's been funded significantly by the federal government. The original problem is that the Hobbs administration never really accounted for, well, the federal government has backed off of its funding, and we're still going to fund it at the same level. And instead of going to the legislature early on to say, this is what I want to do, let's negotiate that, she just kept spending, and now we see the shortfall. I think the Republicans are going to fund it. They, of course, want to put on some guardrails. Some of them are reasonable. One of the things they want to do is, you know, all federal funds must be, you know, go through the legislature, all that stuff. They've been trying to do that since I was in short pants. So that's not new. And, you know, they're going to lose, you know, again, that's been going on forever. But, you know, I think they're going to work something out. But the problem here is that the Hobbs administration never kind of caught this and like, oh, we're going to have a problem coming up real quick.
They most certainly did.
No, they didn't.
They didn't tell you.
They didn't tell anybody.
Well, but no, they absolutely did. Okay, and they talked to the Republicans who let it get to a crisis point so they could pin it on her. And that is not accurate.
The Hobbs didn't do anything.
They don't control spending. They need to go to the legislature.
Let me ask you this. They didn't start saying, look, you know what? We're going to have a shortfall in this, and we need to either dial back the funding or make some changes and go to the legislature. And they just did it as a supplemental at the start of session.
Let me ask you this, Barrett. So based on what you said about, for example, federal money going through the legislature, do you see this proposal from the legislative Republicans as what they actually are going to dig in for? Or do you see this sort of as an opening offer and they will maybe give on some things and not give on others?
Democratic governors and Republican governors have given the finger to the legislature every time they've wanted.
On that particular provision?
On provisions that give the legislature more control of federal funding. I assume, and then they go away unhappily complaining. I assume that'll this won't be part of the final agreement. I don't think any of that. I think they do have to keep it. Okay, what are we going to do if the federal funds aren't there? We've got a funding shortfall. We have to deal with it this year, and I think they're going to. But we have to now figure out going forward. Again, 5 years ago, this program didn't even exist.
And I also just want to say that it's not just a federal funding shortfall. It's a larger population using the program than what was originally expected.
Yeah.
Somehow that's perfectly fine for school vouchers. Somehow that's perfectly fine for prison health care. But yet this is the one the Republicans are holding up. I mean, it doesn't make it is so cruel when we're talking about which populations get addressed. More kids can go to Brophy on school vouchers. That's perfectly fine. There's a huge overrun there. There's no Republican in the street screaming about it. But we've got more kids in the DDD program than we originally anticipated. And there's a federal shortfall. And then suddenly the governor has made a mistake. It's so blatantly craptastic.
Barrett, I want to.
I have to go to the dictionary for that one.
Yeah, that is not a word I've heard in a very long time. Barrett, I want to ask you about the so-called Axon bill, mm-hmm. which is dividing some Republican lawmakers, specifically those from Scottsdale and those not from Scottsdale. This is one that would supporters say keep Axon in Scottsdale. Critics say it would override the will of the voters who want to be able to vote on the development deal, including apartments in North Scottsdale. This seems like a really interesting, like, municipal situation that has taken on a statewide meaning.
Yeah, but and it involves even, you know, our housing shortage, which I think everybody agrees. And, you know, Scottsdale's sort of snootiness about we don't want any more apartments anywhere in the city. And so there are so many layers. But at the end of the day, this is a $40 or $50 billion company. Arizona does not have many of these types of companies. You can count them on one hand how many of these types of companies the state has. And so I think you've got to get creative and figure out how to keep them here.
Stacey, I mean, this is one of those issues that, like, Democrats are not – it's not every day that Democrats are siding with a company like Axon, right?
Well,
let me just note. I mean, it got 40 votes in the Senate – or I'm sorry,
in the House,
this week. It was pretty bipartisan. It was bipartisan opposition and bipartisan support.
Yeah.
Look, Axon has provided a level of police accountability that we didn't have before this, right? Body cams. I wish our surgeons would use them. I wish firefighters and ambulance workers would use them as well. But this, so Axon is not an anti-democratic company,
okay,
right? So what I find really interesting about this is it sets really bad precedent that you can buy land for one use from the state land trust and do whatever you want with it if you just wait a little while. And so, and if you're now in a city between 200 and 500,000 and you've got an international headquarters, well, what if I want to open up a flip-flop manufacturing facility in, you know, where next to your house, right? And I live in Peoria, and which is about to be 200,000 residents. So they're on a policy level, it's a terrible policy. It's a terrible precedent. That said, I'm old enough to remember when McDowell Road in Scottsdale was all trailer parks. So Scottsdale's very strange aversion to apartments also needs to end. 80% of the population lives in an apartment
Scottsdale
one way or another.
I mean, some of the Scottsdale politicians, leaders, like Mayor Braska, is that we don't want any more apartments, period.
Yeah.
And, you know, these aren't going to be slums. This isn't even, you know, affordable housing, God forbid. This is, you know, really workforce housing.
Well, and the bill sort of sets out who would be living in at least some of them, right? Mm-hmm. Like company employees and other.
Right. Yeah.
I think there's first responders, some other people like that who would be.
There's hospitals
living in those,
right by there for, you know, nurses and people who work at the. I mean, these won't be, you know, shabby, rundown, God forbid, for the undesirable population moving into Scottsdale. These are going to be young professionals, probably. And so, you know, obviously there is the local control versus, you know, statewide control. But this is something of so important to keep a huge manufacturer, a huge company inside Arizona. It almost trumps everything else.
The local control issue, Stacey, that Barrett mentioned is another one that a lot of folks have talked about, specifically the representatives from Scottsdale who are like, look,
right,
people in Scottsdale collected signatures. They want to have a chance to vote on this. You're now telling them they can't.
That's the rub, right? The local control is extraordinarily important. And looking at the projects that have been bounced from our valley because of local control, by exerting local control, talking about the Coyotes Arena in Tempe, mm-hmm, talking about the Trump Tower on Camelback Road.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that,
right?
One.
So local control has been, you know, the core tenet of our state constitution. It's extraordinarily concerning that's the point of bad policy, bad precedent. It's extraordinarily concerning that we can avert that.
How big of an economic development concern? We have about a minute left, so I'll get each of you for just a few seconds on this. How big of an economic development concern would it be? And Barrett, you alluded to this. Like, do you think Axon legit would leave if this bill did not
absolutely
pass?
Absolutely. They are gone if there isn't a reasonable solution coming in the next couple of months. They are absolutely gone. They've said it is not a hollow. It doesn't appear, I should say. I've not ever talked to them, but it doesn't appear to be a hollow threat. They will move because, you know, I think
because they won't be allowed to build.
Yeah, I mean,
if it goes to the voters.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, this is, you know, they've put a lot of time and effort into this. They've come up with good. And just to say, I mean, this is just NIMBYism kind of on steroids.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, but again, this policy is bad precedent. If we decide we don't want a 27-foot or 27-story tower behind us, we should have control over that. And so I'm concerned about the policy and obviously concerned about how bonkers Scottsdale is about people who live in apartments. What, like, who do you think they are?
Interesting. Mario, I'll have to leave it there. Stacey Pearson, Barrett Marson, thanks to you both. I really
puppets
appreciate
now,
it.
Puppets now? Puppets? Puppets?
Coming up.
Sweet.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's biggest stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Mark Brody. Thanks for listening.